Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Bangladesh is searching for a new leader after one of the world's longest-serving female prime ministers was ousted by protesters after 15 years at the helm. She resigned and has fled to India, it would appear. For her analysis, we're joined now by Professor of Development Studies at SOAS, the School of Oriental and Africa Studies at the University of London, Naomi Hussain. Good morning to you, Professor. Can you explain, please, what it is that has happened in Bangladesh in the last month that has led up to this?
Well, good morning and thank you. And well, that's a lot to explain in a few minutes. But yes, we've had over a month in Bangladesh of massive protests triggered initially by students demanding a reform to a quota system that basically earmarked government jobs for followers of the Awami League regime, Sheikh Hasina's government. And these escalated when the government sent in their militia and the police and finally the army, and people were being shot dead point blank in the streets, which horrified the entire nation. We've never seen anything like it since the days of Pakistan. Bangladesh got its independence from Pakistan in 1971. Sheikh Hasina, as you said, came into power 15 years ago. She came in with a massive mandate, a landslide electoral victory. But since then, each of the subsequent elections has been decreasingly democratic, and she has become increasingly authoritarian. Opposition leaders and activists have been in jail, thousands of them, or arrested under house arrest, like the leader of the opposition, Begum Khalilzia, has been under house arrest for many years. So the whole society, really, the whole country really came out against this. Eventually, by the end of July, it was a massive movement all around the country. Finally, the army, it seems, decided that they were not going to be shooting any more citizens in order to keep Sheikh Hasina in power. And I think, persuaded by her family members, she resigned yesterday.
That suggests that the army has the whip hand or the controlling hand here. Might they actually take over now?
It's very unlikely in Bangladesh that the army will take over. The army has, of course, had several stints in the past, in the 70s and throughout the 80s. We had army governments, military rulers. But nowadays, the army in Bangladesh they're very important in the UN peacekeeping forces. And so this is a real benefit to the rank and file of the army. And the UN, of course, doesn't like to give jobs to military dictators. And so there's very, very little expectation that the army will hold on to power for any longer than they have to. I should also say we have form here. Back in 2006, 2008, there was a military-backed caretaker government for 2 years, a non-party government comprising lots of civil society and eminent citizens and so on, who basically tried to clean up Bangladesh politics. And this was after a kind of similar, almost parallel movement and bout of political violence under the then government, the BNP, which is the opposition, the main opposition. And that after that 2 years, that's when Sheikh Hasina won her her resounding landslide that put her in power for the next 15 years. So we've done this before. We think that the military will probably hand over power, maybe not immediately, because there's a lot of turmoil right now, a lot of violence is still going on. But we fully expect that they will.
So if not the army, then might it be that person that you mentioned there briefly, the Nobel laureate Muhammad Yunus?
Yes, and Professor Yunus is the founder of the Grameen Bank, you know, the microfinance program that has really spread all around the world. And he's a very, very popular figure, has a lot of supporters around the world as well, including the Clintons and other world leaders. The students are demanding that he is the leader of the caretaker of the interim government. Yes,
he's very old.
That is quite likely. He is old. And I rather think that people of his stature should stay out of politics. That's my personal feeling. And though I know there are other people who feel like that as well. But he is a unifying figure in some ways. He's above politics. And so I think there's some great hope that he will be able to bring together and lead Bangladesh back into democracy.
How unsettled is the country that whoever takes over is going to be taking over? Was this an uprising of the student class, or was it more widespread?
Well, it started off as an uprising of the student class. That's a really good question, actually. They started off as a student uprising, but it spread quite quickly. And it's partly because of the violent response by the state. People really couldn't tolerate the fact that students and their supporters in the wider society who did come out in support of the students, that they should be shot in this way. But there is a backdrop here. One is that after 15 years of rule, Sheikh Hasina's Awami League became increasingly authoritarian, clamped down on the media, on civil society. Professor Yunus himself was facing a jail term for quite spurious legal cases. People were being disappeared in their hundreds. It's a really sinister strategy for silencing dissenters. And at the same time, although Sheikh Hasina's Awami League presided over really quite dramatic development, there's massive numbers of new bridges and roads and infrastructure and shiny new buildings. It's really impressive. The country has transformed. 6% growth over at least 15 years on average, and all sorts of developments of that kind. Nevertheless, a lot of the benefits of development have been cornered by a small elite, big business, the military, and followers of the party. And we, of course, also in Bangladesh, like in the rest of the world, have faced a huge cost of living crisis, inflation, and so on since Russia invaded Ukraine. And so people have been struggling and have been suffering, and they have had no space for voicing their discontent until this massive uprising kicked off.
I was in Bangladesh recently, and what passes for a mid-level income in the country is really very, very small. I mean, something in the region of $6 a day for fishermen with large boats. So poverty is widespread, and it seems that something of a fuse has been lit now. Will it be easy to suppress that, to douse it, rather?
Well, I would say, first of all, the extreme poverty, I mean, what looks to you like poverty is perhaps, I think in the developing world, Bangladesh is considered to be something of a success story in the reduction of poverty and certainly the reduction of hunger. You know, we had 50 years ago a massive famine in Bangladesh that killed 1.5 million people. People don't know about this. Not even in Bangladesh do people really know about this because it was really, this information is not widely known. And this was, in fact, just prior to Sheikh Hasina's father, Sheikh Mujibur Rahman, who was the nationalist hero who brought Bangladesh to independence from Pakistan. He was in power at that time. So, you know, we've come a long, long way since then, since Bangladesh was known as the basket case. But yes, there is poverty, and yes, there is also growing inequality. I think that though the growth trajectory, the development trajectory of Bangladesh was good despite the authoritarianism, I think that if they can reinstate democracy, and really have a much more participatory and much more accountable and responsive government, I strongly suspect that development will pick up again.
Where do you think Hasina is? Do you think we have seen the last of her?
You know, people who know her have told me that for many years now she's wanted to retire and just play with her grandchildren. So I strongly suspect that's what she's going to do now.
Okay. But anybody else in the Awami League, how likely is it that somebody else in the same mould as her is going to step forward? Because, I mean, you said it there yourself, she took over from her father. There is something dynastic about politics in Bangladesh.
Well, she didn't take over exactly from her father because her father and all of her family were assassinated in 1975. She was out of the country at the time, and that's why she survived. There was a long period after he died of military rule. Then we had a democratic period in which she first came to power in 1996 for 5 years. The Awami League used to be Democrats. They have changed, I think. they have changed over time. Power has changed them, has corrupted them for sure. The opposition party is very much of a mold, to be honest with you, very much of the same variety. And I think this is why the students and indeed the wider society are really hoping for a major political reset this time, that we don't just reproduce the same old political structures and the same old political practices and processes that got us here in the first place.
Naomi Hussain, Professor of Development Studies at the School of Oriental and Africa Studies, thank you very much for talking to us.